Life Audio.
You are listening to The Becca Cook Show with your host, Becca Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/The Becca Cook Show. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Today I have a very special guest who just happened to pop by, Chyna Phillips Baldwin.
Hi everybody, it's so good to be here again.
Yay! And we're actually in, as you can tell from the background, we're in Ecuador right now. We're in the jungle of Ecuador. And so we're excited today because last week we had lunch and Chyna had a really good idea. And she said, let's do an episode and talk about our, what we do or how we feel about our unsaved friends and family members and all that. And so I was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about that.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Yeah, because it's painful. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it, and there's a lot of layers to it, and we want to dig into it.
So yeah.
Let's do it.
So yeah, as I've mentioned this before, but when I first got saved, I was just, blown away by it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I cannot wait to tell all of my friends, my closest friends for like 20 plus years, yeah. People that like know me super well, trust yeah. me. And I sat down with each of them one at a time, told them the story, told them the gospel.
You made an appointment.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And we went, like, it was like so many lunches and dinners, but I thought, it was going to be so easy for them to come to Christ because they know who I am. They trust me. They mm-hmm. believe, you know what I mean?
And
so,
yeah.
So I was like, oh, they're all going to get saved. All my friends are going to get saved.
Right.
Little did I know.
I know.
It was not the case. And what was kind of the general reaction to my story was, I'm so happy you found your path and like, this is good for you. Mm-hmm. But, one of my best friends said, I'm happy for you, but don't ever proselytize me.
And I was that's a big word.
Yeah. So
proselytize.
Yeah. Don't evangelize to him.
And wow.
So it was weird because I just thought they would be receptive to, wouldn't you want, like, if your best friend for 20 years since high school told you that they know the king of the universe, wouldn't you want to just say, like, tell me more about that?
Yes.
Like, I want to know.
Yes.
What's that like?
And I did very much the same thing as you did. And I sat my friends down to talk about it. And about a quarter of the way through, it didn't take long, I saw this kind of blaze come over their eyes and this sort of feeling almost as if they felt that I was judging them in a strange way too. It was almost like, I found something. You need to be saved.
Yeah.
You need to know Jesus. And as loving and as gentle and as graceful as I tried to be, still I could see in their eyes that there was this aversion to what I was saying.
Yeah.
And that's hard. They're like repelled. And, some people can be very repelled by the gospel.
I think it's also when you talk to people and tell them about Jesus and the gospel, I think it's off-putting. And one of the reasons is because it's convicting. like you said, your friends, I mean, it's like this, there's a conviction because people deep down, they know, as Romans 1 says. So I think there's that too.
They know, and they're threatened by the new spirit that they're sensing and feeling and that's living inside of you. And I think that's a little scary also for them because you're a new creation.
Yeah.
You are a new creation in Christ. And there's a little bit of an abandonment there too. I think also they could sense the spirit, the new living spirit of God that was inside of me. And I think it was repelling and a little bit threatening.
When did you, like, was this after this kind of second thing that happened with you?
Yeah, because the first time that I got saved, if there's such thing, was when I was 12 at the Baptist school. And and so I didn't have anyone really to mentor me after I got saved at the school. And so I wasn't really evangelizing at that time.
Yeah.
So then when I got saved the second time, I started talking to people about my experience.
So how old were you then?
33, 34.
And so we're...
Hold on for one more day. I take it back because I had Brooks when I was 36. So I was 37.
Okay. So were your friends shocked by it?
Maybe, but they didn't let me know that they were shocked. Yeah, they didn't show it. It was more sort of like what you said, like, oh, that's so great, but I will say a few of my friends were receptive. I baptized them in my bathtub and we read scripture together and stuff. And a couple of them did say the words. They received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they didn't. You know, that they didn't follow through with it and stick with it. So I don't think it landed on good soil. Maybe I was being a little pushy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do now, like in terms of your friends and in terms of your family, your husband, like Billy? What do you do?
Well, it's interesting because now I'm a little bit more outspoken about it, obviously, because I've got my YouTube channel, California Preaching, and then I, you know, have California Healing, my sort of Jesus women's hang. So I'm a little outspoken about it. So it's not like I really have to say much. Like, people know my whole life revolves around Jesus Christ. So there's not really much I have to do or say, although I still have a responsibility to minister to people and to share the word and the gospel, which I do, but not so much with close family members.
Mm-hmm. Because they know what you believe, and they know.
They know, and I feel like they'll come to me if they're ready.
Yeah. So do you just,
or if God draws them?
Yeah. Do you just face plant and pray for them constantly?
Yeah, but don't you find it kind of harder to pray for family than you do for friends?
Well, fortunately, I didn't have to pray for my family because they're all
right.
Believers. So that was a huge kind of bonus when I got saved because all of my siblings are believers and their spouses. So
you should be thanking God.
And my parents.
Every single day.
I know.
Thanking God for that.
So that's
huge.
It was just like, that wasn't a burden on me. But when I was first saved, and still now, but I remember praying on my floor in my bedroom and praying for especially this one, my best friend. She and I were like, Will and Grace. Like, it was that kind of
thing. I remember you telling me about this.
And I remember praying for her, and I just, the thought of her being like an eternal
point. Yeah.
like
it's so not funny, but it's just like, it is so serious. The consequences.
Yeah.
And the repercussions of not accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not funny. Like, this is not a game. This is not play here.
And I just, when I thought about her, I just was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, it killed me.
We'll be right back after this short break.
And this dear, dear, like, one of my best friends in New York, I actually sent him a text. Well, he was in LA for something. And when I first got saved, he was in LA. He came over. I told him the whole story. It got kind of hostile. He was drinking a little bit. So he got, especially when it got to the, the stuff, it got kind of hostile.
You mean when it got to the gospel part?
Well, no, when it got to like the gay stuff.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about that.
Okay.
That's not a problem.
So, but then we made up immediately, and he was like, I'm sorry, I got so, you know, aggressive, whatever he said. And anyway, we're still in contact, and we're still friends. We don't see each other very much at mm-hmm. all, but I sent him a text. I don't know when this was, probably like 6-7 years ago. I mean, I would send him texts now and again about the Bible or the gospel, but I sent him a text and I said, let's call him Joe. I said, Joe, on the last day, you will understand how much I love you.
Mm.
And
you're gonna make me cry.
He texted me back and said, he just said, thanks, Becca. That's all he said. I was surprised he even responded, because it was so like, but
on the last day. And explain to people who may not understand what that means.
Oh, on the last day when Christ returns and everyone will be judged. I was like, you're going to understand. You will understand that I loved you more than anyone else in your life. Mm-hmm. Like more than anyone.
That's right.
Not that they know the gospel, but you know what I mean? It's just like, so that's, I mean, that's, I mean. That's,
wait, what do you mean not that they know the gospel? Sorry.
Not like his friend, you know, his group of people don't know the truth.
Right. They don't understand it. So they don't understand the eternal consequences of it.
Yeah. But,
But
I'm still praying for him. And I have, you know, when I first got saved, I got a journal and I wrote down every name. I couldn't find it today, which is crazy, but I wrote down every name of like all of my unsafe friends, anyone I could think of in my life and work life, et cetera. And I just wrote their names down. And
that would be a novel in my life.
Yeah. It was a novel. It is a novel. And so I would just pray over each person, pray for their salvation. And then sometimes I would have a couple check marks next to the name because a few of them got saved. So I would do a little check mark, but I'm waiting to do all the check marks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's distressing to, you know, it's distressing when you have friends or family and
children. I mean, it can be torturous, you know,
I can imagine.
Torturous to have children who aren't saved. You know, my kids, and I always ask myself this, my kids did say the salvation prayer. They did accept Jesus when they were 4 or 5 years old. In bed, when we were reading a bedtime story about Jesus, I said, would you guys like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And they're like, okay, and we did it. But is that enough? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible does say, confess with your tongue, you know, that Jesus is Lord. And so I don't know, it's all very tricky and it can really, really put a damper on my day if I obsess on it too much, because I love my family and I love my friends and all my coworkers and, you know, just thinking like, my gosh, you know, if this is real, there's a lot of people who the road is narrow
and the gate is narrow
and the road is wide to destruction.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you do?
What do I do?
Have any of your friends come to Christ?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've had a bunch come to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Yep.
That's awesome.
My friend Catherine, my friend Courtney, my friend Clarissa. Well, Clarissa always was pretty much a believer. So I don't take credit for that. I don't take credit for any of it, really. I mean, obviously it's God. But I'm trying to think male friends. Yeah, I can't really think.
My friend
Zoe. I've got a few.
Are there some that are on the precipice of like you think are kind of almost there?
Yes. Yes. My friend Michelle is almost there. She's in the Jesus waiting room.
Oh, good.
And there's a bunch of those. But I think also it helps to be able to pray in the spirit, because when I pray in the spirit, sometimes I'll just think of the person, like they'll come to mind and then I'll be praying in the spirit and God knows my heart for them. And, so I'm just, I am just clinging to the knowledge that when we pray for our loved ones, we are shifting things in the atmosphere, in the spiritual atmosphere. We're shifting things in the kingdom for them. And yeah. We just have to remember that, you know, just stay diligent in your prayers. And some people just feel like they want to give up because it's been literally decades. But we have to remember that, you know, Paul prayed for his thorn to be removed from his side, right? It mm-hmm. never was. And there's countless people who had to wait. Sometimes it never even happened. I mean, you know, the promised land, right? They wanted to get to the promised. How long did it take for them to get to the promised land?
40 years.
40 years.
They're wandering in the wilderness.
You know, and they were getting frustrated. They yeah. were just like, take us back to Egypt. Like, we'd rather be slaves. But God is patient. You know what I mean? And God is going to be, you know, more patient than we are. And we just have to trust in God's eternal plan, because obviously you guys know that I pray for my husband every single day. And you know what? He might already be saved. He might. I see a lot of hope there. A lot of confidence.
He's in the waiting room.
He's in the waiting room. But like, who am I to know? You know, God is the only one who knows for sure whether somebody is saved or unsaved. And so, I mean, who knows? He may have called on Christ when he was 8 years old in his bedroom and forgotten. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
So I just have to trust that the ones that I love will come. But here's the real difficult part. Here's the really difficult part. You know, not everybody's going to get saved. Newsflash. Not everyone's going to get saved. And the difficult part for me is accepting that, because, you know, think about your closest family members and then thinking perhaps they may not get saved. And I asked my friend about this, and she's like, once you're in heaven, you won't care. It won't matter anymore. And I was like, but I do care. I care. I really care. And she's like, yeah, but once you're in heaven, it won't matter to you anymore. Oh my God. And I was like, that's terrible to say, but it's kind of true. It's kind of true, because once you're in heaven, you're not going to be obsessing about stuff like that anymore.
There's going to be no more tears.
There's no more tears.
No mourning.
But it's a terrible thing to say, and I'm not trying to, you know, make anyone feel hopeless here. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow that not everybody will.
Well, but look at me. I mean, my family prayed for me for 20 plus years.
There you go.
They prayed for me nonstop, and God answered the prayer. So
that's right.
It's like,
and you had a major, you know, conversion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Road to Damascus.
Yeah. And, I just think that the praying is really important. But then if I start to think to myself, the reason they're not getting saved is because I'm not praying hard enough. Mm. That can play a mental game on you as well.
Yeah. I mentioned to you earlier about this woman at the Jewish shop. I want to tell that story because it just happened the other day. Another woman. So, you know, you guys know that I go to
your green juice every morning.
Not green. It's sometimes it's green. Sometimes it's
banana.
Different colors. It's like orange, raspberry, coconut, whatever. Banana manna.
Okay. You said it the other day, right? The banana man.
Banana man. It's a whole thing. Anyway, I go to this juice shop. It's two blocks away. I've had so many, because I go there so much, I end up interacting with the employees and we have such great conversations. And one of the employees is this young guy. He's in his 20s. He's Catholic. And he said, and he's very committed and he's like, loves Jesus, loves the Lord. And I gave him a copy of my book. And
did you take it there intentionally?
Yeah, I took it to give him my book.
And you just don't carry them around in a pouch.
Yeah. Although I probably should.
You should. It's an amazing book. I love it. So, Paige Turner, get the book, Change of Affection. Gotta get this book. It's so good. It's on Amazon, Change of Affection. Beckett Cook, go.
A Change of Affection. So he told me, like, he finally finished the book, like, and then, like, I don't know, a month later. I mean, it doesn't take a month to read my book. It takes a day. But anyway, it took him a while. He told me that while he was reading my book, he had this total Holy Spirit, like, moment.
Oh.
And, like, like, you know, broke down in tears and repented of everything. And it was like this glorious moment. And I was like, wow. So anyway, he, you know, there's like, I don't know, six different people who work at this place. They're all kind of young. But this one person, this just happened three days ago. This one person who works there, this woman, she looks kind of like a person who, I don't know, just, she was like the last person I would think who would ever ask me about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, she would kind of have that look, yeah, like that she wasn't interested. Mm-hmm. But the other day she came out to where, you know, because you order outside at this kind of window thing. And she came out and she said, hey, I heard about, let's call him Joe. I heard about Joe. He read, when he was reading your book, he had this ecstatic experience. She called it an ecstatic experience. Yeah. And she's like, did you have that? And I was like, yeah, actually I did. I kind of just, because there's people in line behind you, so it's hard to have a conversation too long. So I said, yeah, I did. And she said, where do you go to church? And I said, Reality LA on Sunset Boulevard. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll come check it out. I was like, what? Like, I was so shocked by that, because it's like, she's like, it was just crazy out of left field. And so anyway, I've been praying for her. And
did you get her phone number?
I didn't, but I mean, I go there all the
You'll
time.
You'll have so to give me an update on that.
I'm going to, next time I go, I'm going to bring, she wasn't there today, but the next time I see her, I'm going to give her a Bible.
Yes.
And say, read the book, read John's gospel.
It is good to tell people to start with the book of John, right?
Yeah, because it's the book of love. Evangelistic. Anyway, that was very exciting. I'm going to bring her a Bible, and then hopefully, you know, she'll be at church. If not this Sunday, then, you know, maybe Easter.
And tell her about how to preach. Because, yeah, you know, it's so relatable.
Yeah.
It's so incredibly relatable. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was exciting. I love just, you know, I just love those moments when people actually want to know.
When a light bulb goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to know. And so.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, you know, my mom, and I've been evangelizing to her for years. And last time I spoke to her about the Lord, she said to me, come on, China, you know, all you care about are the mansions in the sky. She said, you just want your mansion.
That is hilarious.
Oh gosh, I thought that was so funny. But my mom, she's so great. She's so funny. I mean, she's receptive to a point, and then she just starts making jokes, and she can't get real with it. She can't just sit down and talk to me. But she'll say, you know, God loves me. I'm going to heaven. All is fine. You don't have to worry about me. That kind of stuff. Yeah. And she might be right. This is the point.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I feel really guilty, you know, making the assessment about whether they're saved or not. I mean.
Yeah. For me, it's pretty, when the Spirit is dwelling in you, you
correct
can sense.
And when you see the fruit.
You can sense when it's the Spirit's in somebody else. For example, I've told this story before, but I was at Whole Foods. This is a while ago, a couple of years ago, but I was in the checkout line, and the woman, the cashier person, I just like immediately sensed that she was a Christian. It was crazy. It was like, I could feel it. And I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And she just smiled and she's like, I sure am. And I was like, praise God. So, I mean, you can kind of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the spirits are sort of kindred and,
yeah,
you know, like they sort of recognize one another.
Yeah, it's like I can kind of have a conversation with somebody for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Have you ever been on an airplane and sat next to somebody? Two things happen for me either on an airplane. Either I sit down and I know unequivocally that they are definitely not Christians.
Not interested
in talking about it, but that I'm praying for a way, that there'll be some sort of way for me, an opportunity for me to slip in the gospel.
There's always a way for you. You're always like, hey.
I am on this 5-hour flight where Jesus just gave me an in. And then there's the other where I sit down and I'm like, I can just feel that either they're going to be receptive or that they're already Christian. And so I'll strike up a conversation with them. And yeah, I'm usually right about that.
Wow.
I'm usually right about that. So either they are Christian or they're at least receptive to hearing the word.
Have you ever had, like, what's the worst experience you've had with someone when you tried to evangelize? Like, what was the worst response you got from someone?
The worst response I got was from Jackie. Yeah. And Jackie passed away about 5 years ago now. And I'm not really sure how that went for her, but I prayed so much for her when she was in the hospital. And as she was dying, I said, Jackie, just say yes to Jesus. Because I knew she was dying in the next few minutes. I said, she couldn't respond. All she could do was hear. The nurse said she can hear. And she was like pretty much convulsing. And I was saying to her, just when you see Jesus, just say yes to the Lord. Just say yes. And the nurses were looking at me like offended. Like, this woman is dying. Leave her alone. But I cared about her eternal salvation.
Yeah.
You know, so I just said, when you see Jesus, Jackie, just say yes. But a couple years earlier, to get to your question, when we were sitting down and I started talking to her about Jesus, she literally turned to me and she said, you need to stop doing that. Don't ever do that again.
Wow.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yikes. Remind people who Jackie is.
So Jackie is kind of like a surrogate mother to me. Best friends for 30 years, the two of us. I knew her even before I knew Billy. And she helped me raise my three babies, and they all called her grandma, and they called her Granny Jax. And we were literally together all the time. I mean, she lived in Albuquerque, but she would come and stay with us in Santa Barbara for 6 months at a time every year. So she really was like a family member to us, and just a remarkable human being. And she brought a lot of stability and love and joy into my life. And it was just a terrible loss because it was unexpected when she died.
So there's another interesting story, a great story. When I first got saved, you know, I was so vocal. I just, you know, posted on Facebook because I was just like, Jesus,
loudspeaker.
Yeah. And one of my dear friends, Lisa, that's her real name. She actually lived with me in Tokyo.
Why wouldn't Lisa be her real name? Oh, I see what you're saying. She's not going to be upset by this.
Lisa Williams. I got this message. I love when these things happen because it's happened several times. But I got this like in a Facebook Messenger message or whatever. I got a message from her saying, "Hey," and we were like super close. We lived in Tokyo together in this tiny apartment for a year, and we were super close.
She's in your book.
Yeah, she's in my book.
Yeah,
and
I know Lisa.
You know Lisa.
Yeah.
So she said, you know, the word on the street is that something big has happened in your life and I'm curious about it. And I was like, so I called her and I told her, you know, the gospel, I told her everything. And she kind of, it took her a while. I don't know what the mechanics were, but it took her a while. But she finally got into a church and she got saved. She was saved. And I don't know if her husband is saved or not, or if he, I don't know where he is and not all that. And she's got kids too, but that was really cool to just, I love when people reach out to me and they're like, hey, old friends, like from high school or college. And they're like, hey, like, what's going on with you?
I met a woman at a coffee shop and her name's Zoe. And she and I struck up a conversation. And I told her I had a YouTube channel and it was for Jesus. And she was very intrigued. And she was like, wow, that's so cool. I want to learn more about it. And then I gave her my number. She texted me. She's like, I just watched like 10 of your Cal preaches. I binged it. And this is so awesome. I want to learn more about what you're doing. And I didn't know if she meant like more about what I'm doing with my YouTube channel or more about Jesus. Like, I was a little confused. And so I invited her over to my house. And she came over and she said, yeah, this is just, I'm so inspired by what you're doing. And I was like, well, cool. Do you want to read the Bible together? And she was like, yes. So So I pulled out the bike. She was so enthusiastic. I was like, wow, okay, this woman's hungry for God. So I got out my Bible and we opened it up and we started reading. And I kind of opened up to something a little in the Old Testament, kind of something a little wrathy and like God, you know, like just very Old Testament-ish. And so I'm reading it and I'm like, oh gosh, you know, this is so wrathy. Like, I don't think she's going to respond to this. And she just was like soaking it in. And she was nodding her head in agreement with what I was reading. And I felt bad because I was sitting there going, oh, this is like too wrathy. She's not going to, you know, she's not going to identify. She's not going to feel, you know, safe or receptive. Well, then I said, let me read a little bit out of the New Testament. So I started reading Ephesians 4, I think it was. And I was reading Ephesians and she just started to cry. And then I said to her, I said, do you want to pray? She was like, yes. Like literally she just like latched onto me. She said, yes, I want to pray. And I said, well, sometimes I pray because I was like, well, this girl's all out. Like she's all in. So I was like, sometimes I pray like on my face. Sometimes I do what's called a face plant in my world. Would you like to face plant? And she's like, yes. And she like went right down onto her face and she went, I mean, this was the most dramatic conversion.
Was this in like public or where was it?
At my house.
Oh.
And so she goes down on her face and we're praying and she's crying and I give her a Bible to take home with her and she's saved. I mean, like she texts me all the time, China, you gave me my first Bible and I go to church all the time and my husband's on the worship team now.
Oh my
God. He wasn't even saved and now he's on the worship team. They've renewed their vows. You know, so sometimes you just never know, guys.
Yeah.
You just never know if someone's primed, like God might have been doing a work in her. You know, yeah, before she even met me, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love when people in your past get saved and you didn't even pray for them.
Yes.
Like, because this dear friend of mine, Ted, he lives in New York. He used to live in LA and we used to be good friends in LA. And then out of the blue, he called me and he said, I'm a Christian now. And I was like, what?
God.
Like, wow. It was so shocking. And I was like, praise God. And so, and he's super just on fire for Jesus.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like you said, it's the most unassuming people, you know, like at the juice shop, when that woman walked up to you and you didn't really think that she seemed like somebody who would be receptive to hearing the word.
Yeah.
I think that's our fleshy selves getting in the way.
I know.
You know, it's so gross, but we do it. It's gross, but we definitely do it from time to time. I'm guilty of it sometimes too. So we just can't ever, you know, judge a book by its cover.
You never know.
I mean, look at Alice Cooper. I'm sure a lot of people never thought that Alice Cooper would get saved.
When did you get saved, by the way?
Oh, years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes outward appearances can have us make us have judgments.
Yeah.
You know, preconceived notions.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's good to, and when I'm on flights, which I'm on a lot, I kind of like sit at my seat and I sort of can assess the situation a little bit. I'm like, okay, there's two people next to me or this person, you know, she seems kind of open. And so it just depends on the moment and also depends on how tired I am.
Because I'm always tired. The second they ask you, like, well, how did you get saved? It's like such a story. There's such a testimony behind it that it must seem a little overwhelming. And plus, you know, people, you know, I always say, Beckett, you're like, you know, one man in the wilderness just crying out to God all day long. I feel for you because there aren't that many men that were gay that, you know, that get saved and really walk the walk and talk the talk and are full out, sold out for Jesus and committing their whole lives to the Lord. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what you've done. And
well, it's God's grace on me.
It's totally God's grace.
Amen. I just am so thankful that because obviously, like, you know, when I was living in LA for years and years, I never thought about like judgment. I never thought about Christ returning. I never thought about hell ever. Like, I just was like, you know, this is it. This is where I am and this is my life. But after I got saved, I was like, oh my gosh. I can't believe that I was in the dark for so long. I'm so thankful. I was just like, so happy to be in the kingdom of God.
I can feel that for you. I can feel that.
You know, it's like.
Now, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I know that this is a sanctification process, and I know that you coming to the Lord, especially with your background and just with your personal testimony, I know that it didn't happen like overnight where I it did happen overnight where you received Jesus and you became a Christian, but I'm saying the sanctification process for every Christian can sometimes
it's lifelong.
And so can I ask you kind of a personal question? And if you want to cut this out, you can, but do you want to share with us just in what ways you feel like you have been sanctified? Because I personally, and I told you this at lunch last week, I'm already witnessing changes in your, I don't even know what I would call it.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah. And your,
in your spirit, or like, what is it? What do you think I'm sensing or witnessing here? What is it that I'm seeing?
Well, you tell me.
It's okay if you just, okay. Because you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I said to Beckett last week at lunch, I was like, Beckett, this is kind of crazy, but I feel like I want to tell you something. I feel like you're a little more masculine. Like, I feel like there's less of a sort of, I don't know,
effeminate.
Do we call it a spirit? Do we call it a...
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like that's starting to diminish. And I'm wondering if you're recognizing that, or if I said something and you went, huh, she's right. Or, oh, I didn't realize.
I didn't really realize that. I accepted it. But in terms of sanctification, I mean, it's been 14 years and God has done so much sanctifying, and it's hard. Just like, even when God called me to seminary, it was just like, that was such a, like, I just felt like jammed in every direction because I was in school, grad school full time. I was working as well. I was, you know, hosting Bible study at my apartment every Wednesday night. I was volunteering at my church. I mean, and that it was like I was in a compression chamber or something for like 4 years. And that was super tough. I felt God was doing a lot in me during that time.
And you could feel that.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's
he's still
as apparent to you. Is that the point that you kind of feel like it's still happening, but it's not quite as intense?
No, it is still as intense. Like, there's days where, I feel like I'm going through a period right now of like I'm in the crucible and God's refining me and doing stuff. And it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every day I was riding my bike this morning. I was just like, God, you know, please just have grace and mercy on me as I'm going through this kind of not difficult time, but just kind of different. Like, I'm in a different season in my life, and it's totally different from five years ago or 10 years ago. And it's, you know, sometimes hard. It's hard. Like, there's a lot. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, what's sort of beautiful about this is that you didn't necessarily recognize what I had recognized. And I think that that is such a testament to it actually being the Holy Spirit's work. Because if you were working toward trying to make that happen, it would be.
Yeah, because I was surprised when you said
ingenuous.
That.
Ingenuous. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be real. It's like it would just be a show. But I can tell that it's not.
Yeah. Well, good. Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so subtle.
Interesting.
It's so subtle. It's not like you're this older. It's just this real subtle.
Interesting. That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So what would be your advice to people who are watching? What would be your advice to them for their loved ones and their friends and family? Like, what in terms of
it's prayer, so hard.
What would you tell people to do?
Well, okay. It is hell. I mean, let's just face it. It's hell not having saved family members and friends and people that you love and care about.
Well, that's the thing. Because, you know, obviously I don't have kids.
Yeah.
And when I got saved, I was just like, oh my gosh, if I had kids and they didn't know the Lord, like I would be destroyed. I would be so distraught all the time.
I know.
So I can't imagine what that feels like.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, it's awful. And the thing is that you can't exude that fear around your children.
Yeah.
Because that just makes them resent it even more.
Yeah.
And it makes them want to run because they don't, first of all, they get angry. Like, well, stop being so concerned about me and my salvation. Like, I'm fine. I'm fine. You're not. Obviously, you're not fine. I'm fine. So it can sort of be this, you know, this sort of vicious cycle. So I always have to be very careful about not exhibiting any signs of, you know, my fear for their salvation when I'm around them, even if I'm feeling it. I can't be that woman. I can't be that girl. So
do they watch your show?
No. I mean, Brooks watches it from time to time with her friend Tallulah, who's obsessed. So they do watch it sometimes in the evenings together, and they'll send me a video, like they'll pan from them eating popcorn to them, you know, to watching Cal preach. It's adorable. So Brooks is saved. You know, she's full on in love with Jesus.
That's your youngest daughter.
Yes. And she goes to church and all of that. And again, I'm not saying that Vance and Jameson aren't. It's just that she is, you know, actively
walking,
you know, talking to people about Jesus, and she's not afraid of talking about Jesus. And she listens to her favorite Jesus podcast, the teenage ones. And so back to your question, my advice would be to, you know, really just understand that Jesus truly does have it handled. As hard as it is sometimes to wrap our heads around that, at the end of the day, we can all be in agreement that Jesus knows what he's doing. Jesus knows what he's doing, and he's got it handled. That's really hard because it's about a radical surrender. It's about saying, I radically surrender my children to you. I radically surrender my husband to you. I radically surrender my mom and my dad and my cousin and my, you know, my friend Jenny at work, whatever it is for you. It's about that radical surrender. And it's an act of faith, and God loves that. You know, faith is defined in the Bible by things that we cannot see, believing in things that we cannot see, right? Mm-hmm. So just continue believing in what you cannot see would be my advice. Just believe that God's doing his work and trust. Just trust that if they are going to come, they're going to come. And, you know, your prayers matter, but don't let that drive you bananas. You know what I mean? Don't let that drive you bananas. Just take a moment every day to say, you know, Lord, you know what I want for my family. You know what I pray for my family. You know what I pray for my friends. Salvation for all my loved ones. It's that simple.
Yeah.
We don't have to put ourselves into a pretzel every single day.
Yeah.
You know, God doesn't expect us to do that. It's not about how hard we're praying diligently, you know.
Yeah, and my advice is the Bible. Well, I mean, this is kind of, this is not just for family and friends, but just strangers. Like, my advice is like, just, this is living and active. And if you give someone a Bible and just say, hey, read, you know, one of the Gospels, read the Book of Acts, which the Book of Acts is so exciting because
it's like a movie.
It's like movie. And just say, you know, while you're reading this is what I'm going to tell this woman at the Jews place. While you're reading John, just ask God, help me to understand. Because it's hard when you're not saved, when you're not a believer, it's almost like this is in Japanese.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell her, like, while you're reading the Book of John, just ask the Lord to help you understand it.
And, so good.
And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So
before we wrap it up, we thought it would be a good idea to pray just for all the unsaved souls, just for that one little prayer for all the unsaved souls in this
all
world.
Of our friends and family and your friends and family.
Yeah.
And everyone. Yeah.
So we pray that you will join us in this prayer.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for this time together and for your glory. Father, you know, we magnify you right now, Jesus, and we just trust you. And we trust that although there are days that we are literally just so gutted over the fact that we have family members that are not saved, friends that are not saved, children that are not saved, Lord, you know how debilitating it can be at times for us. It's crippling. And We ask you, Father, to help us remember that at the end of the day, truly it's in your hands, Lord, and you know our hearts and you know what we pray for our family. You know our prayers intimately, Father, and that it's an act of faith to just say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust in your plan. And it's so challenging at times to do that, Father. But we know that there's great reward in that. And I thank you, Father, for this wonderful time with Beckett and for us to just reflect on just the myriad of feelings and emotions that come with having people in your family who aren't walking with you, Lord. It's so painful. It is truly one of the greatest burdens of being a Christian is looking around and seeing so many unsafe souls. And it can be torturous, Lord. It really can. And you know that. You know that that hurts our spirit so much. It grieves our spirit. And we know that it grieves the Holy Spirit as well, Lord. So thank you for this time and for giving us the prompting to want to talk about this and have a discussion about it, Father, because it is such an important discussion. So many people out there are just suffering daily and just feeling so discouraged. So, Father, we ask that you would just give hope, a living hope to the people who are watching this video, who are experiencing this terrible feeling of sadness over not having saved friends and family and our children. And we thank you for giving them the comfort that they're seeking right now. And I pray that this video bless them, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so much for this time. And yeah, I just pray for all of the people in my life who've been in my life and since mm-hmm. kindergarten and all of the people I've come in contact with and shared the gospel with over the years on photo shoot sets and everything. Lord, I just pray that you would just reach down in even some of the people I mentioned today. I pray, Lord, that she would just reach down and grab them and pull them into your kingdom.
Yes.
God. And I just pray for anyone out there who is watching too and doesn't know the Lord. I pray that God, that you would I'm just thankful that they're watching. Mm-hmm. That's a huge step. And so I just thank you. And I pray, God, that you would help them and guide them into your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray for all of the people in China's family and all of her friends and all of my friends. I just pray, God, again, that you would save them, because we want them to know you. We want them to share in this eternal life. We want them to have the joy of knowing Jesus and have the joy and the peace of actually knowing the meaning of life and actually knowing the truth. So God, please do that work. We thank you so much and we love you. We bless you, and in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. That was beautiful. It was so wonderful to be here with you. I love you so much. You're just such an important person in my life, and you've taught me so much about God. Yes, you have. You've taught me so much about God and so much about his kingdom work. And I'm just so grateful that the two of us get to do this together.
Scatter
the seed.
Thankful for you. And I love you. So guys, thank you for watching, and we will see you next week.
See you next week. Can I be here next week too?
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Beckett Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Beckett Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
Thank you to the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find more faith-centered podcasts about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Finding uplifting news in today's headlines is often like searching for a needle in a haystack. At the Story Behind podcast, we believe in the power of finding heartwarming tales and are happy to share empowering stories with you every week. Hear about how Steve Harvey surprised a dying man on Family Feud with $25,000. Get inspired by the note a waitress received from a patron dining alone. And even hear about how one VIP passenger made a hardworking pilot get emotional before his flight. To start listening to the Story Behind podcast, visit lifeaudio.com or search Story Behind on your favorite podcast platform.